everybody. It's another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 205, coming at you on a Thursday night to preview the third base position for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. Before we get into all that fun stuff, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Running on all cylinders as you click the go live button, and I say, wait, hold up as you do it. So that's where we're at right now. And I should be firing on all cylinders, unlike you. This is your third podcast today.
Yep, we're rolling. Just mid-season form, as they say.
You are in mid-season form, and it's January 16th. So I give you credit, man. I couldn't do it.
Oh, I love it. So, for the most part, I love it. Good people to talk to. So it's always fun stuff. And it's draft season. So, you know, why else would we not get pumped up to get this train rolling? If this was September, like, or August 16th, would be a whole different conversation. Because I just feel like, what are we? The dog days are real about that time. Right now, we're good. We're doing our thing. But enough about me. How's everything else going with you? You making it through the week? You helping the elderly draft? How's everything going for you?
I am. Spent a little time at DMV this morning, so that was about as expected. But yeah, I'm doing good. Like you said, it is draft season. It feels like it comes early and early every year, and I've noticed this year, like, things have really started to explode in terms of, like, just interest and in the pulse of everything. So buckle up these next 2 months, because really this is the high time for fantasy baseball, as weird as that sounds. But I'm ready for it. We're ready for it. Bunch of new Discord Patreon folks the last week or so. It's been awesome to see everyone join in, and truly grateful for the support, you guys. Really, really means a lot.
Yep, you guys are awesome. And the Discord is the highlight of it for us, because it's just awesome. We don't have to even be there. You guys are running the show, basically, and we pop in and have some fun with everybody. So really cool stuff there, and that's a part of being a Patreon member. What else gets you a part of being a Patreon member is in the listener leagues. If you'd like, you still have to pay your entry fee, of course. We're not paying for that. But you get eligible to be in the listener leagues. Remember, the final day to sign up to be in the listener league is Friday, January 24th, probably a week from the day you listen to this, give or take. Remember that Friday, January 24th is the last day to let us know that you will be playing in the listener leagues if you are a paid or a free Patreon member. So keep that in mind. Also, reminder, prizes for your leagues, besides your monetary prizes after your entries that you pay for, $50 to get in, the second place player team in your league gets a 2026 Baseball HQ Draft Prep subscription that gets you full site access from middle of January through April. Thank you to the people at Baseball HQ. The league winner gets a 2026 full year subscription to Baseball HQ. And the overall prize this year, courtesy of Baseball HQ, is a free registration to First Pitch Arizona 2025. Travel and lodging not included. That is an outstanding overall prize.
Side benefit to that free registration at First Pitch, by the way, you will 100% chance guaranteed to be embarrassed by us on our live show when we call you out as the overall winner during our show at First Pitch next year. That will be a highlight.
And to make it even better, I'll buy you a drink if you'd like one as a thanks for coming out and having a good time.
I'll even buy you two. Imagine that.
Yeah. So there we go. That's the beauty of First Pitch Arizona. Yeah. The other thing we want to mention, we talked about it. If you finish second in the league, you get the Baseball HQ Draft Prep for 2026. Well, if you want to get the 2025 Baseball HQ Draft Prep that is now available on the Baseball HQ website, you can get a discount by using promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM, for $10 off the Draft Prep kit, which is pretty sweet. Gives you full site access from now until April. Ryan, if you want to elaborate on that, it is all yours.
No, just I am biased, but it's a great deal. It gets you access to all the content, all the tools, all the projections, not only for draft season, but that first month of the year as well. And like I said on the last show, it is not often, very rare that we give out promo codes. So, and this is really for listeners only. We're not even promoting this on social media or anything like that. This is for true listeners of the show. So if you're interested, if you've been on the fence about an HQ subscription, or just interested to see kind of what we offer, the $10 off gets you, be $35 for full site access through April. So I highly recommend checking it out if you're interested. yeah.
And as Ryan says, yeah, you get the projections, all the draft goodies, plus Ryan writes a speculator. He'll be starting that up here in a few weeks.
Next week. Yeah, Wednesday so it begins. Yeah. Yes. The speculator is back every week, and playing time tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be weekly.
Yep, pretty soon
as well.
Because I already dropped one a couple weeks ago for the AL West. Those are all cranking out. PT Tomorrow's out there. I'll have daily matchups because you got that first month of April, so you'll have those coming your way. You'll see what the in-season product looks like as well to see if you want to stick around for the full year, which I'd recommend. But again, we are biased on this one. But it's a good way to get your feet wet in the product if you want to see for a much more affordable price for you, potentially. Who knows? But $10 off, promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word.
Yep.
All right. Third base preview, everybody. Hey, Jason, thanks for joining us in the chat, by the way. Third base preview. Ryan, you're on. What do you got for us right here?
Oh, I'm on. See, this is why I said wait, hold up as you went live. But I recovered, so I've got the board up. Same as usual, right? Same structure as our last few position previews. And we're starting to get to the point where we have talked about some of these guys already, but we may revisit some of them in the context of the larger kind of ebbs and flows of third base. So we have ADP from the last couple of weeks since Christmas, last 13 draft and hold drafts on the NFBC. That's how these top 30 are sorted. And then we have the Steamer Fangraphs, Steamer projections that are on Fangraphs, color coded for batting average, home runs, and stolen bases. I always like to start with like stolen bases at some of these positions. It's wild to see, like, there are a lot of sub five projected stolen base.
A lot.
Third baseman, like, there's a lot of them. But then there's like kind of no in between. Then there are a few elite stolen base guys at third base. So you can kind of, from a roster build and flexibility standpoint, you can kind of create your own path here, because especially at third base, speed is available early because you've got Jose Ramirez and Jazz Chisholm both projected for 30 plus stolen bases. But then you've also got good speed available late. You've got 2024 mascot Luis Rengifo at ADP 163 projected for 23 steals. You've got Mikel Garcia, knockoff brand mascot. I'll explain what that means.
Yep.
A little bit later in the show, projected for 29 steals. You've got 2025 mascot Slick Willie Castro, for 22 steals at an ADP of 235. Jose Caballero, even later, projected for 24 steals. So you can get speed at third base if you need it. The majority of these guys, though, are your kind of prodders who are projected for less than five. And that's typical, I guess, at third base. The last thing, and then I'll toss it back to you for your thoughts, Bubba, but not like a ton of power at this position. Nobody's projected for over 35 homers, but that top 10 is all upper 20s around 30 range. So that top 10 at third base, really top five too, you're getting average to go with it. As you get closer down to number 10, you are starting to sacrifice batting average, but there is plenty of power. It's just not, I don't see much like elite power, depending what, like, you might think Austin Riley could do or something. So that's kind of how I see the position from a category standpoint. We'll get into cliffs and pockets and whatnot probably as we start talking through players, but that's what I got.
Yeah, and you mentioned the speed late, which there is in a few guys, but just realize, folks, that obviously they're going late because there are massive holes they bring to the game as well. So Unlike those early picks, the earlier picks, even like the top 10 to 12, most of them are good for 20-plus homers, which is good. And most of them have 250-plus batting averages, which is also a plus. So they're helping you. And like, unlike it felt like, you know, other positions where the batting average might drop or the batting average is good but the power wasn't good type thing, they're still giving you three to four categories, probably, just not steals, which is a plus compared to some other positions. So again, we might change our tune as we go through the players, but it could be a position where you want to attack early to get the five category stud, but it might also be a position where you can wait and still get like a four category stud, mm-hmm. which you can't do at all positions, as we've talked about elsewhere, or like shortstop, you have to do the peaks and valley, then peak again. Type situation where third base feels like if you want the four categories, you can go to pick 130, 140 or whatever, something like that, and be okay. And then it gets kind of peaks and valley, unlike, you know, elsewhere type situation. So that'd be my other big takeaway early, always looking at the Bloom board before we dig in some more player by player like usual.
And that's kind of why we also preach, like on our last two middle infield episodes, like the allure of speed there, because if you do take like a Corey Seager or something at shortstop, you're kind of limited yourself as to which third baseman you can take. Yes. And I think one of the big things that I always say, I want to be balanced in my early picks. I don't say the reason for that, but if you stay balanced early with the categories, it just gives you, it keeps the larger portion of the player pool available to you later on. Whereas if you go early and go with wild category guys, it limits your options in the middle rounds, and that can make it tough. So just kind of driving that point home a little bit to, I guess, again, not draft Corey Seager. I don't know. Why am I bringing up Corey Seager twice already in the third base preview?
It's a valid point. And I guess the other thing I would kind of mention with that is, you know, I'll say it a lot, and maybe it bugs people, that the Pockets of ADP shows will verify a lot of this for you as we go through it. But just by doing drafts like Ryan and I have and many others, like if you haven't done a draft yet, it might not make as much sense as what we're saying. Because like I'm in the middle of one right now where I'm drafting from the front of the draft, which I haven't done all draft season. And trust me, I've done a lot of drafts. So it's a totally different mindset of, oh, wow, this third baseman's actually available, which never was. But what's it going to do elsewhere in my draft? And knowing the positional, the player pool helps out a ton with that. And kind of emphasizes why we talk about the peaks, valleys, or statistics that we're trying to target XYZ. It just brings it all home by going through the motions. And if you don't want to pay for drafts, that's fine. Like if there's another site that does it well, great. But I know people clown on mock drafts and whatnot, but teach their own, because maybe people don't want to spend money on drafts. I'll say this much. If you want to go to Fantasy Pros, I'll just throw this out there. They have a mock draft simulator that I have to use for articles, and everyone can use it. I'm pretty sure everyone can use it.
And, yeah, I've used it before. Yeah.
And you can do your own settings. You can put where you want to draft. Like it's probably the best. And you could do one in like 2 minutes or 3 or 4 minutes, right? Whatever. And that's one way to at least get a feel of like, hey, this is how my team could look if I take X, Y, or Z. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's another tool to use if you're not wanting to pay for like an NFBC 50 or whatever to kind of figure things out. So I want to make it a point. You don't have to do NFBC drafts to do this kind of stuff.
Have you, so you said you've done a lot of drafts. That's news to me. So I'm going to ask, are you taking a top five third baseman often? Because to me, like there's five, the top five third base are all top 40 picks. And then there's nothing to like Mark Vientos at 90. Are you going early at third base? Are you shopping in that middle, or are you kind of punting and waiting?
The draft I'm in right now, where I had the second overall pick, I took Austin Riley in round 3. I took Riley. That's the first time I've done that. I think it was round 2 or round 3. I'm on the turn, basically. But I took Austin Riley. Other drafts, I have essentially waited. I might have a Machado share. I might, because I just like him so much. Otherwise, I have waited for, like, hopefully a top 12 guy. If not, I'm grasping at straws and crossing my fingers, basically.
That's kind of what I've been doing too at third base. And I want to make it like realistic for listeners out there, because we can't say at every position, oh, grab exactly. 2 by 160. Like something has to give. And I think that's an important part of draft prep is, I mean, not just for third base, but like know which position you're comfortable not taking anybody until after 200, for example. Yeah. Because especially if you're in a 15 teamer, it may be a little less so in a 12. You can probably speak to that a little more. I just finished my first 12 team draft and hold, but like in a 15 teamer, you're going to have holes. It's just where are you comfortable doing it at third base? And we've got a couple of listener questions, so we'll get into details on this a little bit later, but I think you've got some options at least if you decide to kind of totally wait at third and go past 200. So another thing to think about.
You do have options. I completely agree with that. It's just not dead like some other places, like second base per se, where it's like real murky. Even though we preach waiting at second base, but it gets real murky. Like first base, probably wouldn't advise it compared to third base. If you want to pick corner infields, I could wait at third if I had to. I'd prefer to get an earlier first baseman potentially. But like I said, I know I don't want to keep beating the dead horse, but doing this first draft at the 2-hole in a 15-teamer, my team is so different than any other team I've done. And every time I go to pick, I'm like, oh, I'm missing this position here, but I got to take this position type thing. Because like relief pitchers, especially in DCs, they go so fast. If you try to play chicken on the turn, it gets dicey real quick. So just little things to think about that. I'm trying to give you a little behind why we say what we say, if it doesn't make sense to like Ryan said, is we always say, yes, of course, take one of the elite players. We can't take them all at every position. Just not going to happen. So,
or even the middle rounds too.
Like you know where you can, Ryan, in an auction, like the listener leagues, you can try to do something. Look at like that.
Yeah. You're just like you're just a natural promoter, man.
That's what we're here for.
All right. Yeah. Michael Buffer.
Yes. Let's get to it. Our usual structure. We'll talk about the top 10 at the position, and we'll each take two from 11 through 20 and 21 and beyond. So we'll kick things off here with the third base goat of recent years. Just stays in the middle of the first round, sometimes creeps up a little higher, rarely creeps too far towards the bottom, usually hanging around the middle of these drafts. And right now has a current ADP of 5 over the last 13 drafts dating back to December 25th. That is J-Ram. Jose Ramirez, coming off a 39 homer, 41 steal season, while he hit 279 with 114 runs and 118 RBIs. That's his first 30-30 season, or second 30-30 season, excuse me. He had one back in 2018. He came very close a couple other times. Dude is just, like, if you look up consistency in the Webster Dictionary, J-Ram's that dude. He's going to be 32 this year, and I don't care. I'm not worried about age. So this is, I don't have a whole lot of negatives to say about J-Ram.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. Like, yeah, 2018 was last time he had 30-30, you said. So, I mean, that's 6 years ago, and he's still doing his thing. So I said on the last show that I would take Jose Ramirez over Gunnar Henderson, even at like 4. And so I obviously am a big fan. J-Ram's the number one third baseman. I doubt he hits 39 home runs again and steals 40, but like he's the perfect category balance guy. He's the perfect elite floor guy. He's a stolen base unicorn at third base. So a slam dunk top 5 pick for me. And I'm like I said, if I'm willing to take J-Ram over Gunner, then I like him a lot, and I think you should think about it too.
Yeah, it's 6 straight non-COVID seasons with going at least 20-20. That's pretty consistent. In the COVID year, he went 17-10, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
That's like really good for COVID.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Jesus
Christ. He's had at least 80 RBIs in all of those 6 non-COVID seasons, and he's had at least 80 runs scored in 5 of the 6. So that's why I just want to emphasize the consistency that he just puts out there. It's hard to, as long as he doesn't get hurt, which we cannot predict, he's pretty much gonna leave you really, really happy in your lineup.
Yep.
All right, the one that is just so troublesome to me, because I love Jazz Chisholm so much, but an ADP right now of 24 is getting harder and harder to swallow, because we just know his history. But last year, 147 games, 24 homers, 40 steals, hit 256. And if he does that again, he's worth every bit of an ADP 24. There's no denying that. But Ryan, can you trust that at that ADP, considering what else goes around him?
Right. Like if Jazz, like you said, does what he did last year, he's great here. And from a pure projection standpoint, I've got Jazz as a buy. I've got him as the number 14 hitter, and he's the 20th hitter roughly off the board right now. So, however, that projection and what Jazz did last year was both something he has never done before, especially the 621 plate appearances, right? Like the previous 3 years in terms of plate appearance was 507 back in 2021, 240, and then 383 in 2023. So it's like, on the one hand, you can look at the projections. You can see what Jazz Chisholm does. I mean, the batting average isn't there, but like the power speed is electric. I love that Jazz still ran with the Yankees after the trade at the end of last season. I love that he's third base outfield eligible. Like that gives you some really good flexibility. I just think you're buying somebody coming off a career year in terms of plate appearances that he's never done that before, and you're banking on him to do it 2 years in a row. So I get all the reasons why you want to take Jazz Chisholm, like, and the ceiling is just enormous. But for me, especially in the top 30 picks, I think the injury history is still, even though he got through 2024 unscathed, it's still, I don't think we're in the clear quite yet. And I could be burned by that, but that's where I stand on Jazz.
Yeah, I'm with you. And people will say, well, going to Yankee Stadium could up things. And yes, all true. All true. Playing in that lineup, all true. But The other thing I'll say is if you like Jazz, you need to get aggressive because the ADP is 24. He's gone as high as 16 over the last 13 drafts. Like, if people want him, they're going and getting him. And there's that weird world where he might get second base as well to go with third base outfield. So he could become like a super, super valuable piece.
Are they considering second? I mean, they don't have
right now. Right now he's at second and Oswaldo Cabrera is at third. If they don't make any more moves, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, that would be corner, middle, and outfield.
Yeah.
And I will say too, the longer Jazz he's kind of like a pitcher. Like, the longer Jazz makes it through spring training with like no injuries and looks good, I could see that 24 ADP to what you were saying. I could see that inching earlier in drafts as well.
For sure. All right, the third baseman off the board is Austin Riley, ADP of 32. Riley coming off of a 19 homer season, 256 average, only played 110 games due to injuries. It was a horrific start. I know we talked about it a lot. Like, people are asking, do we cut him? What do we do? All these kind of things. Really got going before he got hurt. I remember we had some bloom boards that showed some positive comebacks and whatnot. So this ADP, 32, so basically 2-3 turn area, and the projection seemed pretty fair. Like I said, I just got my first share of Austin Riley because I want that power source in a big, big way early on in drafts. Like, I'd rather take him at third base than Pete Alonso at first base type car, or Matt Olson at first base conversation. Because the one thing before I give you the floor that really impressed me when I like looked at his profile some more before I picked him is we talk about batting average. I know batting average, they haven't projected for 267. Dude's at 281, 273, and 303. I'm not counting last year's injury season. Like, he had three really strong batting average years, which kind of gives me that boost that justifies him as a four category stud if he stays healthy.
Okay. Cause I was gonna push you a little bit when you said you took Riley in the early third. Cause like, but your point makes sense. I think we can throw away 2024.
That's what I was doing basically. Part. Yeah.
And yeah, if you put blinders on 2024, maybe some may disagree that you can't do that because at least the slow start was probably deserved for Austin Riley. He did get going and then got hurt, like you said, and it kind of unraveled. I think the price is like, I think the market is expecting Austin Riley. The market's saying 2024 did not exist either. And for someone that doesn't get stolen bases, I think I think it's a little bit out on a limb to just assume he's going to bounce all the way back. And he needs to in order to return that ADP. So that's my only kind of concern is if I'm taking someone with no speed, I don't want to have to bank on a bounce back for it to be worth it, if that makes sense. It could very well happen.
I get it. So I get it. And it's not a normal pick for me. Like I said, it's a
right.
I don't go.
And there. I don't take much Alonso or Olson either. Like I don't, maybe some of it's like I'm taking a closer, at least in draft and holds around this time. Or once we get to Fab Leagues, I'll be taking a starting pitcher at this time. But yeah, it's not normally a pick I make. So I was a little surprised when you said you picked it.
Yeah, well, and in this draft, I waited on pitching. Because like I was seeing where that goes, it's not making me feel warm and fuzzy. It's kind of getting there, but it was a grind early on. But the other thing is we're talking about positions. Like when it comes to Austin Riley, after Austin Riley, there aren't a whole lot of guys that I think a healthy year we could see a 40 home run guy. Like there's some really good ones, but I don't know if we got a 40 home run guy. And I keep emphasizing power has been an issue for me in years. So I'm trying to adjust without just, you know, pulling the grenade and taking a complete power batting average dump. Type thing, so I'm shooting for like he hit 280 and 289 in June and July, so I'm shooting for a guy that can bring it back. But I agree with what you're saying, we can't throw it all away probably, but yeah, I'm taking my chances there.
Okay, I mean if I had to bet on someone to lead the position in home runs this year, it would be Austin Riley, maybe Vientos, but probably Riley.
But the batting average Vientos gives you crushes it. That's the difference. That was my brain.
We'll get to him.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about a guy also. Okay, I'm gonna just one more little reason I liked him. If I put blinders on 2024, we're talking a guy with that had 91, 90, and 117 runs in 3 years. 107, 93.
Right. You,
like he is literally a four category.
You could also kind of put the blinders on Atlanta's lineup in general, and then you get back to those runs in RBIs. So that's a really good point. Something we didn't bring up.
That's just kind of head was out on that, and it could be totally wrong. We shall see.
Hey, man, unlike your Mason Wynn argument last show, you're starting to convince me a little bit. I like it.
Okay, good. At least I see not just a host once in a while, folks. Rafael Devers, ADP of 36, is the fourth third baseman off the board, and Rafi's one of those that if you believe his shoulders are okay, this is probably the second most consistent guy you'll ever find at the third base position outside of J-Ram. Now, yeah, if you're worried about the shoulders, lots of questions come into play. But even with his issues last year, 28 homers, 272 average in 138 games. So what's your thoughts on Rafael Devers, who's going about mid-round three?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, this is the cheapest Devers, I believe, has been last couple of years. So you've got that. But for me, I am a little worried about the shoulders and just how poorly Rafael Devers' season ended. He just kind of basically broke down by the end of the season. Like, why should we expect that to change in 2025? I think this is someone who maybe could be real hot the first half again. And then like Devers was, he was on a tear in the first half and then maybe wanes again, especially, you know, not quite an old, but getting there. I'm more worried about the shoulder. And I know you and Ben Tidd went back and forth on this a little bit on your ADP debate show for third base. I also like Manny Machado more than Rafael Devers. So like, I'm just taking Machado every time.
So, yep. You and me both. I don't know. Yeah. You're on my side on this one. So Ben fought for Devers, but in the end I figured, honestly, they're relatively close. Like, I'm not going to argue, and they're literally going one pick apart. Machado's going to need to be a 37. Devers is 36. So,
and I would say, like, I'm not like, I don't know if you agree with this or not. If Devers is totally healthy, and you guys kind of mentioned this, like, he did have time to get surgery and they decided it wasn't needed. At least that's, you know, what we've been told. If Rafael Devers is healthy for a full season, I get the case for him over Machado. I just, we'll talk about Machado, but I just like the floor with Machado more than Devers. I just feel like if that second half of Devers continues and the shoulders aren't right, you have nothing to fall back on, because there's no speed here either.
Yeah, and you want to know another player that had a shoulder issue that didn't get surgery? Teammate of Manny Machado. Manny Machado is the fifth third baseman off the board with an ADP of 37, and he continues to be another consistent force. 275 last year, 29 homers, 11 steals to go with 105 RBIs. That's 100 or more RBIs in three of the last four seasons, and that's 28 or more home runs in four straight years. And a 276 or better average in three out of the four. So again, consistent. And he runs a tad bit more than Rafael Devers. So that was my argument if you listened to the previous show. Ryan, what else do you have to add? Because I think you gave most of yours already.
No, yeah, you kind of covered it. It's the floor. It's for Manny Machado. It's 9 years of 600 plus plate appearances. Like, the guy, even though he is banged up, like, he does show up every single day. I think the stolen bases are a differentiator, although, you know, it maybe only be like five more bags from a Riley or Devers. I think that is significant. And I also, for Manny Machado, I do buy into the first half, second half thing a little bit with Manny, who had, I believe it was elbow surgery, right, entering 2024 and started off pretty slow. Yep. I have to think that was somewhere early, because he was like, did he start the year as DH?
Yeah, as DH only. He didn't play third base for a month or two, maybe.
Okay. And so, like, the shoulder had to at least play some role, I would think, in that early fade. And Manny Machado absolutely turned it around in the second half. So I know Machado himself is getting up there, but the consistency, the dash of stolen bases, and I think there's upside to this steamer projection of 268, 30 homers and seven steals, because that's probably factoring in a first half for Machado last year, where he may not have been fully healthy. So it's just interesting to see. And we've got Mitch, and to kind of take the longer view, we've got Mitch in the chat saying Riley and Devers have had eerily similar numbers over the last few years. I agree with that. It's just, it's interesting to see these three guys, Riley, Devers, Machado, ADP 32, 36, 37, projected for the same exact batting average. They're two homers apart, and Machado gets the edge and steals. And that's just one projection system. Curious to see what the bat has for these guys. But I would rank those guys Machado, Riley, Devers.
I go Riley Machado Devers, but Riley Machado's like 1A, 1B. Like I probably have more Machado than Riley by the time the season's over, draft season's over in the grand scheme of things. Michael C says Devers' injury list is fairly long, not all major, but it's affected his output. That is correct. Correct. But yeah, all really good players and all four category studs is what I would say. And the four category studness slowly trickles a bit here. They're good. They're good players, still really good players, but it's a little.
It's more in a trickle.
Well, no, the guy after the next person we're going to talk about, I think, could actually jump. We'll talk about that in a minute. The sixth third baseman off the board with an ADP of 92. So we're talking like 55 picks later, give or take, is Mark Vientos. So we're going almost four rounds until your next third baseman in a 15-team league. And it's Mark Vientos coming off 27 home runs and a .266 average in 111 games this next last year. And we loved Vientos. Don't get me wrong. I loved him because of his value last year. You don't get that value this year. And there's a lot of question marks here. So I'll let you have the floor first. What's your thoughts on the Mark Vientos being a sixth third baseman off the board?
I mean, I'm okay with it. With anyone going into a second full season, like there is always an avenue for further growth. Of course, what worries me with Vientos and why this is such a fall from the top group, of course, is batting average. There were contact and plate skill issues with Mark Vientos. Again, it was his first full season, so somewhat of a grain of salt. The power looks legit. Like I just said, it could be him or Riley that leads the position in power. I just feel like you can get a Mark Vientos type profile later in the draft. I think you can get I'd wait around and get Jake Berger. You could like Matt Chapman, Eugenio Suarez even. I don't think they have the power of Mark Vientos, but I think I could sacrifice 5-10 home runs for 100 picks later in the draft type of a thing. So I just think the type of profile that Vientos is, that kind of middling batting average plus power, no speed, it's kind of a commodity that you can, I don't want to say you can get that same production later, but you can get pretty close to it without having to spend a top 100 pick. So it's really not a knock on Vientos. It's more just that type of player he is and other options you've got in the top 100.
Yeah, the thing with Vientos for me is it was a 44% ground ball rate last year. So his 26.5% home run to fly ball, which Ben opened my eyes to, really stood out with his 36% fly ball rate. And that's where I'm going with the 44% ground ball rate. We saw a BABIP of 324 that in a smaller sample the year before was 264 because he elevated the ball more. So, yes, he hits the ball really hard on the ground, so that helps with the average, but not going to give you everything you want. Like people are trying to extrapolate out, oh, he's this 40 home run guy, but if he doesn't start elevating the ball more, you can't run a 26.5% home run to fly ball forever. That's just not going to happen. That's way above the norm type situation. He had 40 barrels and 27 homers. So that's kind of in line with what we're looking for, which is a plus, but just that ground ball rate and the home run to fly ball don't correlate very well when you're looking at an overall consistent power profile. And it almost feels like his average might drop even more if he is going to hit more powers. Mark more home run. And that is a trade-off you have to figure out if that's what you're in for on draft day.
Right. Unless the strikeouts improve dramatically, it's an either or, one or the other. So could play first base. Could play first base.
Right now, as of
maybe we age ourselves with that comment. But yeah, if the Mets don't sign Pete Alonso, it sounds like Mark Vientos would go to first.
Why sign Pete Alonso when you already have him?
Maybe. I think it was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. But all right, let's talk about the guy that I've become more and more interested in, have not clicked the button yet, but the more I read and look into Junior Caballero, who is the seventh third baseman off the board, ADP of 95 right now. Caballero finally got that cup of coffee last year at 248, six homers, two steals in 43 games. After just being a power machine throughout the minors with a very good batting average. Oh, he'll be 21 this year, if anybody's curious. And he's having a heck of a winter league right now, like setting all kinds of hard hit records and everything. But just the million-dollar question, can he adapt quickly to a full MLB season? Where do you stand on this one right now, Ryan?
I mean, you probably have a hunch where I stand, right?
Yeah, like, he's young. You want to see it first. I got it.
Yeah. It's just the way it's my style. It's the way I draft, the way I do it. So that is not a knock on Junior Caminara. Could Cameron Arrow, sorry, could very well be the rookie of the year. Like every scouting report to what you were just saying, Bubba, looks awesome. The Rays stadium situation could very well end up being a positive, getting out of Tropicana Field and basically playing at Steinbrenner Field, which is a replica of Yankee Stadium. I need to see it for a year before I go top 100. I've been burned on that in the past, but I've also avoided landmines with that. Yep. So I also like, I know he is playing right now in Winter League. Like you just said, he finished the season healthy. Do we just give him a pass for missing like eight? He had a couple quad strains last year. Do we just, I don't know. I feel like, I'm not saying he's injury prone or whatever, but this is someone who at least professionally and at stateside has not had a season over 510 plate appearances in the minors. So you just wonder, you mentioned the age, 21. Is he ready for an entire season in the majors? What does that look like in the second half? Could be all wrong. Could be fine. Could be great. But those are questions in my head.
It's a fair question because of the whole soft tissue stuff we like to talk about. But to me, it's maybe a young player that doesn't know how to properly get ready for the season conditioning wise. That's the angle I would use to try to justify it if you are a Caminero supporter come draft day. And usually I'm not a young draft guy. Like I got to see it as well. Like you, I'm kind of getting interested in him if I miss out on some of the top guys, because he's got that profile that if things do click to the potential we saw, why can't he be Machado light, Devers light? Why can't he be a 260 guy that hits 30 something home runs? And like he could be that guy and you're getting him 60 picks later.
Well, and that's the thing. Like we're sitting here staring at this board and looking at Steamer projection. It is basically the same as Austin Riley, Phil Devers, and Manny Machado. Yes. And I don't want to mischaracterize Steamer. I don't know typically how it can differ how high on prospects they are or not. But obviously the minor league equivalents and the statistics say that Junior Cameron Arrow could already be as good as those three guys that we just mentioned that are going as top 40 picks. So I totally get it. I totally get taking Junior Caminero.
And Oopsie has him hitting 271 with 33 homers, if you believe in all that as well. But we need to probably test that just a little bit more. But yes, so that's where I am on Caminero. I'm starting to understand it. If you don't get the elite, but you don't want to wait much longer, I can get there. Michael C. in the chat here, someone took Caminero 74th in one of my drafts today. He could be a major riser. And I was going to mention that also over these last 13 drafts we're talking about right now, he's gone as high as 73. So,
hot spring training. Just yeah. Wait. If Caminero
hit him now, running, if you want him.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So,
all right.
Yeah.
The eighth third baseman off the board we talked about on the second base show, because Ryan likes him a lot, is Jordan Westberg, ADP of 98. He had a really strong first half, first season before getting injured. 16 homers, 6 steals, 264. Anything else to add, maybe in relation to being third base instead of second base?
Yeah, a little bit of a mea culpa. A little bit of a mea culpa here. I think I was a little...
Okay, I'm going to sit back.
You know, I don't know. I probably came in a little too harsh on Jordan Westberg. I don't know how it sounded on the second base pod. I did not go back and listen to myself, because that does not sound good. Do you ever listen to us?
Nope. Not, unless I'm editing something, I don't listen to a darn thing we do.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
I've done a lot of podcasts in my days. I have not listened to probably more than I can count.
I mean, you do so many damn podcasts. If you actually listen to them, you would not have enough time in the day.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
I was mostly down on Westbrook for like the playing time situation. I might be wrong on that one. There was a really good tweet from Mike Curlin that came out actually a couple hours after we did the show.
Yeah, almost like he was listening. That,
almost like he was listening. Maybe we sparked the tweet. I don't know. Basically saying that after Jordan Westbrook returned from his injury was by the end of the season, like hitting second in the Baltimore lineup. And I mentioned like Kobe Mayo as a potential like threat to playing time, but just more so like Baltimore's propensity. If you're not Adley Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson, they rotate guys in a lot. And the numbers do bear that out for 2024. I mentioned at Dakari's plate appearances per active week stat, where Westbrook was like 20th or something at the position. So some of that's still valid. I just think that if there's a chance, and especially if Baltimore hits Jordan Westbrook second, that is one where you want to look at spring training lineups. That playing time concern could absolutely be not a concern. And if that's the case, Jordan Westbrook actually versus Caminero is quite an interesting debate. You guys may have debated that. I had to bounce a little early, but
no, I didn't, but we'll talk about, or I'll ask one question. Maybe we'll save a debate for something else on this one. How do you think Westbrook compares in power to Caminero?
Not as favorably, but he still has pretty good power.
Okay. Because my question is, with Westbrook, I prefer him at second base based on the other profiles going before and after Westbrook. Okay. I feel like you're limiting yourself at third base.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it all depends how you build your team, where you have your steals.
100%. 100%. Yeah, but that'd be my only pushback on that. If you're going to compare him to Caminero, that's a gap in the matrix.
Yeah. So anyway, just want to somewhat correct the record from my second base, not thrashing of Jordan Westbrook. I like him. I took him in the eighth round of the meatball draft.
There you go.
But yeah, 98 ADP. Still, I think he's fairly priced at 98. We'll end there.
Yeah, no, it is. All right, the ninth third baseman off the board, ADP of 114 and on the rise, Jake Berger. Jake Berger, love me some Berger. 29 homers last year after hitting 34 the year before, hitting 250 in three straight seasons. I don't have much more to say. We talked about him at first base, third base. I actually drafted him at my first base to pair with my Riley at third base. I have steals elsewhere, don't worry. But I love everything about Jake Berger in this lineup, and waxed poetically a few episodes about him.
Yep. I don't have the Bubba Berger graphic ready at the ready, but that was pretty good on the first base show. I don't have too much to add to what you just said. Again, I'm just going to drive home that point of similar to what I was talking about with Manny Machado. First half for Machado was the shoulder, but for Jake Berger, I believe it was the oblique or side. Played through it and was not good. And second half, when healthy, hit almost 280, somewhat Babbitt fueled. I would not expect that for a full season of Jake Berger. But Jake Berger could hit 260 with 35 home runs. And again, this kind of goes back to exactly. Yeah. He's back to that Austin Riley, Devers, Machado group. And so I'm kind of somewhat of a broken record saying that, but that's why I'm tending to wait a little bit at third base.
Well, it goes back to the beginning of our discussion, is just the two guys up top that steal a bunch of bags. And then it's a bunch of the same dudes before you get to the stolen base guys that are depleted elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of 250 to 270. Averages, yeah. 25 to 35 homers, five steals, let's just say. But then you got to think run production, so team context after that.
But it's like a gradual drop. Like the batting average may drop a little bit from 260 to 240. The home runs may drop a little bit from 31 to 28. With projections, we have no idea how. I mean, that's needle in a haystack. That is well within the margin of error for a projection. So this kind of always goes back to that, like Ron Chandler, Mayberry method, BAB systems, where you take these skills kind of a little bit in aggregate and group these similar types of players together and see where they go by ADP. And I think third base for Ron this year, this is like a tried and true example for the BAB system.
100%. And the 10th third baseman off the board he's probably not the same. He might get a little more of a decline on this one, according to certain people. That's Royce Lewis. Royce, 16 home runs, 233 average. It was a rough finish to the season. Did play 82 games, which was nice compared to the norm for him. Might play second base this year, which is a little bit of a boost to the, you know, third base, second base situation. But like a healthy Royce, we've seen be amazing, but we haven't seen him be healthy for a full season to be amazing, which I think makes this ADP of 126 maybe too high for some still.
And the actual true ADP is probably like 140. If you didn't take Royce Lewis, like what, 13th overall, 14th?
Third round, middle of the third round, Ryan. No, you're not. There's like 37th or 38th, something. Oh, yeah, something like that.
Is that the min still?
I'd have to go check. I don't want to right
now. Yeah, I won't bust your balls even more. When you took Royce Lewis in the third round, that was basically when collapse in the second half, but kind of before that all started. So I totally get it at the time. I don't know what to do with Royce Lewis. Like I could make the argument that why would you take Junior Caminero when you can have Royce Lewis, who has actually shown and been a star at the major league level already. If you're kind of taking that risk at third base, I could make that argument. I could also make the obvious argument that Royce Lewis can't make it through a season. And then on top of that, we have this mystery that was the second half for Royce Lewis. Like the question with Royce Lewis was always, it's just playing time. If he plays, he's going to be elite. And I think there's a little bit of a hole in that argument now, given how Royce Lewis finished. So given those two like major factors against Royce Lewis, I'm out. However, I mean, this is somebody like if you were to ask me if I'm writing my Baseball HQ speculator, which you can access for $10 off with code Bubba Bloom. If I'm doing a speculator column saying which players that going outside the top 100 could post first round value in 2025, like Royce Lewis is
the poster boy
near the top of that list. Yeah. So, and he's going late enough in the draft at 126 where like you can take a shot there. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but it makes sense to do it there as opposed to like trying to bank on a full season again from Jazz Chisholm at a top 30 pick. I don't know.
Well, and like right now we're talking about his ADP of like 126. Over these 13 drafts, he's gone as low as 144. Like, so that's a whole round later in certain drafts where he's falling. I did look in all of the DCs, his min is 25 right now. So I don't believe that was me. Thank goodness.
No, that was not.
Yeah.
There's a rogue.
Someone else loved him more, unfortunately. But I'm with you. It's like there's so much. It's just like it's almost like the Jazz Chisholm argument. Can you just play? Can you just play like 140 games and see where it goes? So it's intriguing, especially when we start talking about some of these guys later where there's a lot of question marks there as well. And that's kind of where I sit at the third base position. So there's your top 10, everybody. And it's funny because basically 3 through 8 or 3 through 7, at least maybe 3 through 8, maybe 3 through 9. All very similar, depending on how you your expectations. If you are a projections person, a lot of similarities in these players. So
Agreed.
Your poison and draft accordingly. All right, 11 through 20, we'll pick two each here. You got Matt Chapman, Bregman, Luis Rengifo, the 2024 mascot, Eugenio Suarez, Alec Bohm, Isak Paredes, Matt Shaw, Mikel Garcia, Nolan Arenado, and Josh Jung. Ryan, the floor is yours for our first of the two each.
I'm going to go old, boring Alex Bregman sitting there at 147 without a team. I think the longer he goes without a team, that 147 ADP probably continues to drop a little bit. I'm not. It's funny. I think Martin Sokolsky asked this in our Discord or just made the comment that, like, are we getting to that point in the pre-spring training where we start to worry about some of these guys who don't sign? I'm not there quite yet. And I'm not saying Martin made that point. He's kind of just threw that out there, but it's interesting to think about as we approach late January. I think Alex Bregman's, I know he's going to sign with somebody, and I don't think he needs too much of a ramp up. And I think the free agent discount is quite fine. Now, obviously, a lot depends on where he signs, so that could change. But I just think you're getting a player who doesn't have the highest ceiling, right, but plays every single day, decent batting average. Again, same batting average as a lot of the guys going much earlier at third base. Does not have the power, but could still go low mid-20s. And that works at a 140 or 150 ADP.
Yep. I've talked about Bregman plenty in drafts. He's just kind of that safety net, not extremely flashy, but he's going to give you a consistent good batting average, 20 plus homers. And it's what we say, 180 runs on RBIs. Just is what he does year in and year out. So if you miss out on the premiums, I have zero problems with the Bregman. Wherever he signs, he's going to play every day. Like, it's not a concern in that regard. And it feels like, and I agree, I think he'll be ready. The pitchers I'd be more worried about the longer this goes than the hitters. When it comes to Bregman, it's more he's just looking for a certain number is all he's looking for. Like, there's teams that want him. It's not a lack of interest. It's more of a disagreement. And he wants more years is all it is. And he wants to make this his one last swan song. He doesn't want to do this again. So
I would too. I mean, this is his age 31 season. Yeah. So this is pretty much your last shot at a good number. So I get it.
All right, for me, Matt Chapman. He's the 11th third baseman off the board with an ADP of 132. But for me with Chappie, it's not because he stole 15 bags last year. I don't expect that. I'd be shocked if he has double digits again. Let's just be real. It's not because he's a giant either. It's because it's that consistency thing that Ryan and I like so much. Like, that's Matt Chapman in a nutshell. Besides his defense keeping him on the field, it's basically been 140 games each of the last six non-COVID seasons, 150 and four out of six. He's hit 20 or more home runs in five out of those six seasons when you break it down. And he's good for, you know, 70-plus RBIs and usually 70-plus runs. Now, that's team context. The Giants might ruin that, but he scored 98 runs last year with the Giants, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so, I did not realize that.
He's going to hit you 240 to 250 more often than not. Like, it's just a consistent stat line. The average isn't ideal, but if you're giving me 20 with, say, seven stolen bases, or let's say 25 homers and seven steals, and it gets you like 170 runs in RBIs at pick 130, if you've missed on the first few, I think that's a pretty steady situation. I have no problem sitting with Matt Chapman, who year in and year out has some of the best quality of contact metrics you'll ever see. He hits the ball more towards center than pull. So it's not even a ballpark thing for him. It's his way he hits the baseball. And that's all it is. Because I was actually there live and scared the crap out of my daughter when he hit a grand slam to left field in a game. I threw her in the eye. I have pictures of it. She's terrified. But it was amazing. Her first game this year. But when he pulls it, he can just destroy baseballs. So it's just his way he does things. So I'm not going to hold that against him anymore. We can't keep preaching what if. But what we do know is one of the more consistent guys out there, not going in the top, you know, 100.
All I got from that was Matt Chapman almost sent you to jail for child neglect.
So, no, it wasn't neglect. She was in my
hands. Yeah, I guess not. I guess abuse. I don't know.
Scared her.
No, cool moment. Cool moment for you and her. I get it. I think the thing with Chapman is he is, I think, fully priced. Chapman was like an awesome discount last year, kind of for the same reasons I was saying with Alex Bregman. Like, he was a free agent and everyone knew he was going to sign, so the price is pretty cheap. I think it all depends on the stolen bases. I think we know, like you said, who Matt Chapman is. We probably get upper 20s power, probably hits 240. Does that come with 10 steals, one steal? That's where it's and that's where I'm too a little bit like, for me, it's tough to take Chapman because we can see the number 9 as the stolen base projection for Steamer, but I feel like that's a hedge between like 16 and 3.
Yeah.
That's fair. So that uncertainty kind of freaks me out because I don't know what I need to do with stolen bases if I get Matt Chapman.
Well, and in years past, we always made the joke in years past, it was him and Eugenio Suarez always neck and neck on draft boards. Everywhere you went, Suarez coming off a great year is going, you know, 40 picks later. So
yeah,
pick your battle there too. All right, who's your next one? Because I can't wait. You made a tongue-in-cheek joke about this guy earlier in the show.
Yeah, so it's Mikel Garcia. I'm calling him the off-brand mascot, the generic brand mascot, because true mascots like Luis Rengifo last year, Slick Willie Castro this year, qualify at 4 positions. Off-brand, Mikel Garcia just qualifies at 2, but I think he still gets it done. And the nice thing with Mikel Garcia, in all seriousness, it's second and third. So that's middle corner. Like, that is huge. I know you just pre-recorded a show with Kevin Hastings, so I'm actually interested to see what he had to say on Mikel Garcia. I will admit that Garcia probably doesn't lead off for the Royals and hits lower in the lineup. I will cede that, but I don't think this is someone. I think he stays in the lineup every day. I think it's just lower in the lineup. I mean, he's still just 25. I think Mikel Garcia was extremely unlucky to hit 231 last year. I think Mikel Garcia is the projection is 260. I think he's a 260-ish hitter. And if he's 260 getting on base at a higher clip, the stolen bases can absolutely approach the 30s. And I don't think he's a non-zero in power. I think he can get you 10 home runs, 30 steals, and hit 260. Going outside the top 200, eligible at third base and second base, maybe he's not off brand. Maybe he's like one of those middle brands, not quite premium, not quite store brand, but somewhere in the middle type of mascot.
So he's more like a Home Goods, not a Big Lots.
I was trying to come up with specific company names on the fly. I couldn't. Yeah. So we'll go with that one. I like that.
Well, the way you're talking about him, you're going to love the answer on the Royals preview podcast. That's all I'm going to say. I'll okay. save that for that. But Kevin is in similar thought process as you.
Oh, on good. That one. Yes. Good. I am glad to be aligned with Kevin, especially when it comes to the Royals.
Yeah, skill set was still there. Production was not for the most part last year. So agreed. A lot to look at. All right, for me, and this is not a homer thing. It's more so looking at the other options in this range. Not in love with them. I almost went Isak Paredes, almost went there. Ooh, but
okay.
I'm going back to Luis Rengifo. And this is more so we saw 8 homers, 24 steals, and a .300 batting average with great plate discipline in his 78 games before he ended the season with his wrist injury. And if you believe in projections, which is a big if, 18 homers, 23 steals, .263. You know, we saw 16 homers in 2023, but 6 steals. I think he had an ankle issue or something. So it's like, is he going to run or is he going to hit for power? If he does both, this is a steal at this ADP if he can do both. It's an if. But I'm looking at a guy leading off on hopefully an improved Angels top of the order, at least in this one. So run production should still be there for Rengifo. I think he'll run because Ron Washington wants to run. He's not there. Yeah, Ron Washington is still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. So they want to run there. It's more of a, does the power show up or not? If it sticks to what we saw, he's playing Mikel Garcia. That's the risk you're taking going 60 picks earlier, 50 picks earlier, whatever it is. That's the gamble you're taking on the power. So if you believe the power comes to at least 15-plus home runs, I think he's great here because a full season of Rengifo could be – and I think the .263 average is low, honestly. I know 300 was kind of maybe an abnormally, but I think he's at least a .280 guy. If he goes .280, 15, 25, I'm just giving a floor. That's still very, very good at this spot because now you're getting – that plus a good amount of runs and probably like 50 RBIs. So that's going to be a bummer. But you're going to get 4 pretty good stats at this point at third base, which are going to be hard to find those 4 correlating stats as the draft goes on.
Yeah, no, great points. I do agree that the power is the for what stolen bases are to Matt Chapman. We don't know where it's going to go. I think that power with Luis Rengifo is we don't know where that's going to go either. So I like it. I do think Rengifo, you know, again, we knew him before he was famous, right? Maybe we made him famous. We'll just go with that. The market, I think, likes Rengifo quite a bit, 163. And that could be just a draft and hold. Again, this is draft and hold ADP, where it does tend to push up those multi-position guys a little bit. So maybe Rengifo falls back a little bit. And if we ever stop talking about him, maybe he'll maybe he'll actually end up on some of my teams, but I doubt we'll stop talking about him. He's the man.
Well, we have 6 OCs in the books. ADP is 150.
So it's earlier than the draft and holds. Interesting. Interesting.
Yep. He's going earlier in those ones. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm interested. And I guess it's something I'm trying to do. Once I start getting outside picks 100, I'm starting to do the what if game more instead of staying as strict to certain things, trying to get out of my comfort zone a little bit to see where things unfold as we draft.
Real quick, Andy Splinter in the chat, going back to Mikel Garcia, is he a Modelo? And I think Andy, your avatar might be a Modelo.
It's Modelo. That's a Pacifico.
Modelo part of the world. Maybe it's Pacifico. Yeah. We could go with Modelo. Yeah. We could switch the off brand. We could switch that to beers. I'm all for that. I like that.
So he's not the Budweiser. He's the Bud Light. Cause if we go to Bud Ice, we're in trouble. So
Bud Ice, dude. I haven't had a
college days. Jesus, college days,
I just threw up in my mouth.
We called that the Black Death in college.
Yeah. All I can envision is like looking down at a beer pong table with like a cup that's like a quarter filled, like 5 other dudes have drank out that same cup, and I'm about to drink Bud Ice out of it.
Thursday nights at our house, it was Keystone Light was the first 2 kegs, and then it was Keystone Ice because they were on discount after that.
But that's the way to do it, because
by then, why spend?
Once the ice hits,
doesn't matter at that point. Doesn't matter. All right, trips down memory lanes, folks. Trips down memory lanes.
It's somewhat of a travesty we didn't know each other in college.
Yeah, so
basically,
travesty maybe for the best.
Maybe we'll relive those days in Vegas,
baby, that Sunday before we take off on the air. All right. Oh, picks 21
and 18. We have a full day, don't we, on Sunday?
We do have a full day with our luggage in hand. picks 21 and beyond. It gets interesting. And this is a big section of what ifs, personally. Like, when you look at different players here, you really got to get your what do you think they really – what's the potential in this one? Andy got me on that one. All right, so 21 and beyond, two picks each. What's your first one?
All right. I have taken this guy quite a bit, actually, so far in early drafts, and that's Connor Norby going at 265. I mean, that is a cheap price. Even though, like, Norby is like 22nd, 23rd at the position, 265 is, you're starting to get to the end game in 12 teamers. I know there are swing and miss issues. The strikeout rate was pretty ugly for Connor Norby, but again, I mentioned this earlier, first taste of MLB pitching. So, didn't quite taste like Bud Ice. I hopefully it tastes a little bit better next year. That they had better strikeout rates in the minors. I think there's reason to think the strikeout rate could improve with Connor Norby. Most of all, though, I think the power is legit. He runs a little bit. And I think most importantly, I think not only does he play every day in Miami, I think he could hit second or third most days behind Xavier Edwards. Not the best lineup in the world, but from a pure plate appearance standpoint, going at 265, I really like that. Even though Connor Norby, if I admit he's a batting average drag, like, so is Mark Vientos, so is Eugenio Suarez, so is Isak Paredes, some of these guys, Josh Young. I just think that's a really good price. And if I'm waiting, even to have him as my starting third baseman, if it doesn't work out, I can drop him. But Connor Norby is for all those reasons, I think he's a really good pick at 265.
I love Norby. I'm a big fan of Connor Norby. I've been taking him as well. The MICI, especially in this type of format, DCs is tremendous. And it's, again, if you play the what-if game, why can't Norby be Jordan Westberg?
I mean, Westberg probably has a much better hitting tool
environment. 170 picks later. So outside a run.
170 runs, picks later.
Yeah. That's what I said, 170.
Oh, I thought you said 70.
So runs and RBIs will take a hit because of the team, for sure. But if we're talking average power speed, I think there's a lot of similarities there.
Projections have them pretty close. You're right. Except for batting average, which and also runs and RBI. But Jordan Westberg light.
Yeah, light, as we stick with our lights. All right, my first one, it's a perennial target of mine in drafts. It's more so just a balanced approach, is Ryan McMahon. It's
you just, and this guy, man.
Yeah, it's just you pencil it, and even the projections have it. It's like he's going to hit 240 to 245. He's going to get you 20 to 23 home runs. He's going to steal you 5 to 7 bases. That is the Ryan McMahon formula. He sucks on the road. 100%. It's been bad at home. He's really, really good, of course. So the only downside this year, he's only third base eligible, where in the past he'd always have second and third, which made him much more appealing. So I like Norby more than McMahon around that ADP right there. But McMahon would be the guy I would, if you just want like a floor and a DC to give you third base depth as a second, third baseman or something, I think you can't go too wrong with a Ryan McMahon, because you can at least throw him in the lineup and you know exactly what you're getting. And on those weeks or the bi-weeklies when they're in Coors, makes for a good CI or utility to have as well.
Yeah, you love that guy. The only thing I'll add with McMahon, and it's actually quite fast, this wasn't on the rundown, it's fascinating to see McMahon go right next to Christopher Morel. Yes. Literally 275 and 276 ADP. Where I stand on this is in a draft and hold, I would go McMahon to get that, just to get that playing. Do you want playing time in a draft and hold? And you want a higher floor in a draft and hold in a fab league, I'm going to go Christopher Morel, because if Christopher Morel hits, that's awesome. If Christopher Morel doesn't play, you just cut and move on. So that's where I distinguish those two. I think that's a good example of like how I kind of treat those two types of leagues.
And Morel not being in that bad hitting environment, the trop could be tremendous for a bounce back.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the Morel fab league situation, because if he sucks again, you can easily drop him. But there is a ceiling where we were drafting Morel like 100 picks earlier last year, and that's very interesting.
Oh yeah, yep. Granted, he was not even a regular on Tampa by the end of the season, but that's why he's going 276. But just interesting to see those two names next to each other.
All right, so, what's your next guy?
This is another case of if he sucks, if he dies, he dies. Go back to the wire. It's Noelvi Marte. I just think, I mean, if you look at last year with Noelvi Marte, I could rattle off every stat in the world, and he was terrible and awful and missed half the season and all that stuff. I think if you take the longer view, this is someone who has at least gotten exposure to major league pitching, is a pretty much consensus top 10 fantasy prospect before he was called up. And it's someone in a great hitting environment. Don't know if he plays regularly, but it's a 314 ADP for Noelvi Marte. I'm willing to take that shot in a fab league. If it hits, that's potentially awesome. Like, I may get grilled for this, I don't know. And I'm not a prospect guy, but this type of comp just entered my head. Like, how far off was Noelvi Marte a year or two ago from in the prospect world versus Junior Caminero? Caminero's more highly regarded, but they feel like they weren't that far off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I get what you're saying for sure. 100% understand that. I get it. Like Andy Splinter says, is Candelario a bounce back candidate? As long as he's healthy, I'd say yeah, because they're going to run him out there because they paid for him. And that's what's blocking Marte.
Yeah.
But can you trust the health is the question on that one. All right, my last guy, Greg Sheeran in the chat, and Andy have mentioned him, and I laughed because, hey, we're going to talk about him right now, folks. And that is one Joey Ortiz, ADP of 302 right now. I'm a big fan of what we could get here because there was hype going into last season for Joey Ortiz, and then they made some moves, and he got some injuries and this and that, and didn't all pan out, let's put it that way. Played in 142 games, hit 11 homers, stole 11 bags, only hit 239. But when you break it down, when he was healthy to start the year, first half of the year, dude hit 264 compared to 211 in the second half, hit 7 of 11, his 11 home runs in the first half, stole 5 bases out of his 11, so that didn't change. But the power, the average was tremendous. This is a guy that in the minors, we were seeing him hit, 19 home runs, 15 to 19 homers. He got up to the double-digit steals the last couple of years and usually hit for a pretty good average. Like we're talking 280-ish and above. Type stuff. This is a good ball player who's going to be 26 years old this year. He was kind of highly heralded in the system. And this was the guy last year. He was like, oh, they're going to get him outfield work. And he's playing the infield. He's all over the place. So they got him playing third base a lot. But now with the trades and Adames out of town, now they're saying he could play shortstop. So he might get shortstop third base eligibility here. The biggest thing for me is we're just wondering how this plays out. Like, is it Terang at second, Ortiz at short, Durbin at third? How do you get them all out there? That's the big question right now. And that's just eligibility. It shouldn't be our problem because bottom line is Ortiz should play. And so this is a guy that projections have him at 253, 13 homers, 12 steals. I could see him being a 265, 270, 15-15 type guy and maybe better. I don't know. I think there's a lot of skills we have not seen yet from Joey Ortiz because of the yo-yoing that has been going on in Milwaukee, which should not take place this year. And that just bumps him up. Like you get a really strong floor here. Like he could be Connor Norby. In a better team environment. That's how I kind of view him. Very similar players, but maybe better runs and RBIs, all things considered. So I'm a big fan of targeting Joey Ortiz in drafts right now as a backup because I believe he will get MI as well at some point. So, yeah, he's a big-time target of me at ADP 302.
Yeah, and just to give Greg Sheeran a shout-out in the chat, he says, give me Joey Ortiz in the 21 to 30 range. Feels like there is more there. His defense will keep him in the lineup. Possible move, like you just said, to shortstop with the Adames trade. Either way, he's my guy. We like my guys. Interesting thing, Brian Rudd had on my editing team in the forecaster had Joey Ortiz's box. And yeah, the first half, second half splits, pretty drastic. Missed, went on the IL, right, with neck inflammation in July. And you wonder. You wonder, did that linger? Did it not? Maybe that's kind of cherry picking a little bit, but that first half, Joey Ortiz looked really good. And like you said, I think the playing time's safe. So I did not have Joey Ortiz bolded on my little spreadsheet here. And that has changed, mostly because Greg liked him.
Naturally. It wasn't me at all. No, yeah. Naturally. No doubt about that.
I like it. 302 ADP. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Pretty good floor with tons of upside, I think, in that situation. All right, before we get to some fun listener questions here, Ryan, what are your final thoughts on the position? Now we talked through a handful of it.
I kind of like don't like the position that much. I just feel like if I'm kind of going back to, and it I guess I haven't changed my opinion too much from the beginning of the show, which is sometimes good, sometimes not. I think if I'm picking and choosing spots where I have to be weak or have to wait, it's probably going to be third base this year. I just think there's a few guys going 200 plus. Mikel Garcia, Willie Castro, Connor Norby. I'll throw Joey Ortiz to that mix. Want to shoot for ceiling, Christopher Morel. I think there's enough options late at third base where I could see third base being the last position I take in a 15 team draft. There has to be one position that's your last. Yep. So for me, it might be third.
Third and second at this point. Yeah, and that's what's fun about talking through this draft and differently. Like, I love to be able to go back and see if I took someone else instead of Riley and then waited at the position, how things panned out type stuff. That'd be a fun conversation to have in my head, at least. It's fun. It's enticing for me. Not sure it'd be great for everybody else to listen to that back and forth. But yeah. May need to get to the Natty Ice, the Keystone Ice of it before we get the final answer.
Before you start defining that one. Yeah. I think one last thing I would add is I didn't realize how like the same everyone is at third base from ADP like 30 through 130. And not the exact same player, but the same type of player. And it's just kind of a gradual drop in power and batting average as you go. So,
yep. So yeah, definitely. All right. We got a handful of listener questions from the Discord here. So we're going to fire them off one by one. Our buddy BP at futures_bet on Twitter. Can Matt Shaw have a rookie of the year type campaign and finish in the top 10? I'll get your thoughts first. I talked about him with Ben. It's an interesting profile as long as they don't sign Alex Bregman, which is rumored lately.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, so much depends on the playing time. I think for the course of this conversation, we're just going to assume that Matt Shaw is going to be the everyday third baseman. So I look at my minor league leaderboard tool that we've got available to the Patreon. In both AA and AAA last year, a 140 WRC plus for Matt Shaw, which is absolutely excellent. And what I also like to see with Matt Shaw is the hit tool. The walk rate, strikeout rate were very strong. Both of them were very strong. That tells me the hit tool looks really good, and thus that transition to the majors could go well. I'm not saying it will go well, because more often than not, it does not, but it could. And then on top of that, you tack on kind of the homers and stolen base production that Matt Shaw had in the minors last year. So to kind of triple tack onto that, it's a 216 ADP. And so if I'm comparing, I'm not comparing straight up Junior Caminero to Matt Shaw, but like the way I draft, I'm more willing to take that shot on a Matt Shaw post 200 than I am a top 100 pick. So I like taking a shot at Matt Shaw again, assuming the playing time is there.
And that's what I was going to say with the Caminero thing. Like, I'm buying more and more into him, but if you are a believer in Matt Shaw, and if we find out he is the everyday guy in a couple good weeks in spring type conversation, he's more like 150 or better probably in the ADP world. So the time is now for a Matt Shaw, but I do think he's definitely a guy that I'd be into. 21 homers, 31 steals throughout a couple levels of the minors last year, hitting 284 is pretty darn impressive. You mentioned the WRC pluses. Plus, he had a great USA campaign over the fall. That's what really got his name out there to many people. So, yeah, I love it. I think there's a lot to like there. Just got to lock in that gig. That's all it is to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think the massive disclaimer, no guarantees. It's a rookie. We don't know. But he has the characteristics of someone who could start out pretty good.
The question I have for you then, I know they're 60 picks apart, but you mentioned taking a chance on a guy. Would you rather take a chance on Matt Shaw or Christopher Morel?
Probably Morel because it is 60 picks later, but I could see myself taking a shot on either one. You go Shaw?
Yeah, I go Shaw. I think there's a bigger ceiling there. Again, Morel's at least kind of done it before, where Shaw hasn't, but yeah, I think that's where I'd go for that.
Okay.
All right, Andy Splinter in the chat here. Joined late, but who in the top 30 do you want no part of? He couldn't be farther out on Josh Jung. Who's someone in this top 30 you're not taking at all?
That's a really good question.
Nolan Arenado.
I was going to say Josh Jung or Nolan Arenado.
I'm not taking Arenado, and I don't have any Alec Bohm either.
Yeah, he doesn't do much, but he just amasses things.
He relies on RBIs, which is, he's done it in two straight years, but you can't always rely on RBIs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to say I want no part of Alec Bohm, but I can't see myself drafting him. So Nolan Arenado, I know we haven't really talked about him, but like, just worry it's a very sharp decline. Maybe a change of scenery helps if that happens, but it was really bad for Nolan Arenado last year.
Our buddy Ben Tidd made a comment, but we already did this. He said, Ryan, I want to hear you debate Devers versus Machado, Bubba, and I had a tough time with this on tonight's bench with Bubba. We knocked that one out already. So,
yep.
Steve Stoughton says, which third baseman are you okay drafting post 200 ADP as your starting corner infielder? I feel that there are some solid options for power if you don't mind losing some points in average. So who would be your number one post 200 guy? If we get a couple each.
I'll go Willie Castro, Connor Norby.
You cheater.
Well, I mean, he's a mascot. We could do mascot aside. I'll go Connor Norby.
Mascot aside, I go Joey Ortiz. I'm not going to trust Matt Shaw yet, but I'll take Joey Ortiz on that one.
And that's interesting. So both of the guys we took, I know the question was post 200. We both went post 250. So yay us, I guess. I don't know.
Sean Shard says the projections for Joey Ortiz have him repeating the modest numbers he had last year, given his age and some prospect pedigree. You think he could have a near breakout and approach 2020? I do believe so, Sean. Tall Fun Son says my vote would be Arenado. Okay, so he picked Arenado just like us. But he also asked, which multi-position eligible third baseman would you target, if any at all?
If any at all.
Baby.
It's kind of funny. The guys we like at third base are all those multi-position guys. It's Rengifo, it's Mikel Garcia, and it's Willie Castro. And
Jake Berger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I almost like, he's first and third, so I get it. Potentially Mark Vientos, even though I don't like him as much at the price. But I would go in order by ADP preference, Willie Castro. Oh, and it's very close between Garcia and Rengifo. You like Rengifo quite a bit more?
Over Garcia, yes.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that one. It's a good point.
Yep. All right, GP Churchill says, two third basemen I've been drafting in DCs, Beatty and Whitcomb, approximately rounds 33 and 41. That's Brett Beatty and Shea Whitcomb. Are we in at that ADP? Do they need to fall further to garner your interest, or are you out entirely? What say you? Because you've been pounding that Brett Beatty drum.
Have I? It's like that Carolina Panthers drum where they hit it and it falls apart. It breaks. That's the Brett Beatty drum I've been banging. I just think Brett Beatty's going so cheap that you bank on the prospect pedigree and the chance that the Mets don't sign Pete Alonso and Vientos goes to first and Brett Beatty wins a third base job. Like, I know I said a lot of ands and ifs. That's not that far-fetched if the Mets don't sign Alonso. And again, Brett Beatty's somebody who even last year, pretty highly regarded as a young hitter. So I would not abandon hope on Brett Beatty. I've been taking him in draft and holds because the price is really good. And if he gets playing time, you never know.
Yeah. I haven't taken much Brett Beatty. Actually, I've taken zero Brett Beatty so far. So I'm Luis Angel Acuna till I die. Beatty can go.
That's a potential beer bet. If the Mets do not sign Vientos, who wins the third base job or something? Beatty or Little Acuna?
No, it's not who wins the job. Who finishes with better stats on the season? Because I don't care who wins the job.
I don't know if I'm going there. Acuna.
And that's who you should be drafting in a DC. You want that full season? There ain't no fab.
Yeah, but I didn't listen to you before. I've been taking. Well, I think Beatty's quite a bit cheaper, isn't he?
I don't care about price. We're legit talking about who has the better season between the two.
What do you mean you don't care about price? I mean, that's why I've been taking Beatty. He's cheaper. Hold up.
Okay, this is where it gets fun, folks.
2025.
Acuna's ADP is 416.
Jesus, what's Beatty's?
499. Not that far apart.
Yeah, not that far off. No, I should probably be taking Acuna. I should be listening to Bubba.
Clip it.
You gotta learn how to that's your motivation.
Sunday at the sports book. And what about Shea Whitcomb? You got anything there? Because there's a chance if the Astros don't bring Bregman back, we might see Whitcomb at some point in time. I'm just I don't know how much that, because I'm still a believer in some other guys there.
Yeah, same. I'm not too high on Wickham. And then, yeah, I don't know if the playing time will actually be there. I don't see him as a regular third baseman in 2025. Could be wrong.
Tommy D says, would signing with the Red Sox bump Bregman and his 12% pull fly ball percentage up in the rankings in with the monster? Would signing with the Cubs drop him a bit? Yes, both.
Yes and yes. That said, Bregman was... he had the Crawford boxes in Houston, but the home road splits were actually pretty neutral. But yeah, you want to see Bregman in Boston and not at Wrigley.
Yeah. Ryan says, how much helium can Junior catch before you're out on him as a viable ad?
Well, it sounds like I'm already out on him, so no more helium. But the helium could be nuts. Could be wild with a good spring.
Yeah, I don't want him to go too much farther. If he starts climbing, I'm out. It's just not going to happen. If he starts creeping in like that round four, five area, it's just not happening for me.
He could. He could.
No, he will. He will. Unless he completely falls off the map. And then Michael Cicchini says, classic, who posts 300 can make a big jump this time next year? Mayo, Vargas, or DeJong? Just kidding. Just kidding. So Mayo, Vargas. You can throw DeJong if you're interested.
I will do... I'll do Vargas. I won't give up. I'll do Miguel Vargas. I think he plays. Yeah. He has a chance.
Vargas will have every day at bats. The flexibility is nice at his later ADP. He's young. Like, he's never had a full run without chaos, basically. So let's see what he'll just have chaos now with his full run. So, yeah, I'll go Vargas out of that grouping right there as well. All right, my friend. Wraps up another episode, another preview pod. We hit the outfield next week. Usually that's a two-episode show. We'll have to see how we want to break that down. Talk a little behind the scenes on that one. But we'll start in the outfield, then we'll head to the mound. And a couple weeks, we'll be wrapped up with previews and on to the next section to get you ready for your draft season. But final thoughts, Ryan, before we head out of here.
No, this was fun. Good to see some diversity in the chat. A bunch of familiar faces, but some who haven't seen in a little bit. So thanks for joining us on the chat, especially Roger Bloomfield chiming in. Yes. 12:19 a.m. local. Hopefully not still awake. We'll see. Maybe waiting for his pick to come up in the draft and hold. But good show. We'll do outfield next week after your Beat Bubba OC. So I'm interested to see how that goes for you on Monday night.
Yeah, my Beat Bubba OC is full. Ryan is now filling his for the following Monday, if anybody's curious, wants to jump in that on January 27th. So don't be shy. Go have some fun with that one.
So that's a $350 league, 12-team online championship with an overall. It'll be fun.
Lots of fun indeed. And remember, if you want to check out the preseason draft package over there at they got called the draft prep subscription over at Baseball HQ, you want $10 off of that, gets you access to the site from now through April. Code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM. Let's go check that out as well. But until next time, you can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And I am at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 205. Catch y'all next time.